Yes, Philippians chapter 4. We're going to pray first. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you for this opportunity to be here in your presence, in your ministry, and in the Spirit this morning. We thank you for being in the Spirit this morning. I call all of us into the Spirit this morning to hear what the Spirit is saying to us and to the churches. We thank you, Holy Ghost, for your presence and your anointing, opening our ears, opening my mouth, that we may hear from you. And we give ourselves to you, we empty ourselves from ourselves, so that we may have your plan and purpose. In Jesus' name, amen. Whew. Well, glory be to God. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 19. But my God, who?
My God
shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Who's going to do this?
My God.
My God. And I don't have time to develop this morning, but I really don't need to. You know here, well, I've talked about this 100 times. Who's your God in the earth today? The Holy Ghost is God in the earth today. So who is the one who's going to be supplying all of your need? The Holy Ghost is going to supply. Say this,
the Holy Ghost
is going to supply
all
of my needs.
Right.
Now, wouldn't it be great if we learned how the Holy Ghost was going to do this so we could cooperate with the Holy Ghost so we can help him, right? Because you know that God wants to do a lot of stuff for a lot of people, but he can't because they're the ones stopping him. It's not the devil. It's not the mother-in-law. It's them. They're the ones stopping them. So we need to get in line with how the Holy Ghost, say how.
How.
How the Holy Ghost does things so that he can subdue his job. We have to do our part so he can do his part. Does this make sense?
Yes.
Are you here?
Mm.
This is going to be good today.
Yes.
Yeah, I know. My God, the Holy Ghost. I even put that in there many times so it can get my thinking. Kick it off of that big sacred bench that we put it up on. This is some kind of weird God that we've created with our religious head, and get it back down to it's the Holy Ghost. He's going to be doing the supplying of my need. Now, the next thing I want to talk about is all your need. Now, we live in the earth. Did you know that? I think you know it. Do you know it? We live in the earth. And so many of the needs, say needs, that you have are financial. In fact, there's a scripture, I won't look it up, it says, but money answers all things. Now, it's not something where you go, yes, money answers all things and make that our God. But you know that out of the majority, probably 90% of everything that people need can come through the avenue of money. You need food. Where does it come from?
Money.
Well, you need some clothes. Where does it come through?
Money.
You need some housing. Where does that come through?
Money.
Right? You need to bless people. Where does that come through?
Money.
You need a car. You need some gas. You need all this stuff to live. And your Heavenly Father knows that you need all these things before you even ask him. But he's provided it for you. Before you even asked him, he said, my God's going to do this. The Holy Ghost is going to do what? Supply all money. Now, and I realize there are other needs besides money. You understand that? I am talking about money this morning, but I'm not trying to twist this scripture to say that that's all it's talking about. But the problem with the church is we've thought that we shouldn't talk about money. When the fact is, if the devil can trick us into that, then we're not going to talk about the one thing that really can help people out. You know, one of the reasons that marriages have so much trouble is when they're under financial stress, money. It makes everybody upset. But you get your money in order and all of a sudden, hey, we're in love again. Let's go on vacation. Right?
True.
But when the pressure's on and the creditors are calling and all that other stuff, right? So the problem was what?
Money.
And so God the Holy Ghost is going to supply all your money. Now, if I can get people, that's because really where we have to leave off today. That's where we're launching from, right? And so I've been able to bring you up there, you people, you aren't sitting here going, no, you're wrong. I don't believe that. You know, you're like, yes, because I've done enough instruction and teaching to get you to this place. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Who's going to bring the money in? The Holy Ghost. Who's going to cause the money to come to you? The Holy Ghost. Now, here's my first statement. I hope you're ready. There is a function of praying in the Holy Ghost. Say, praying in the Holy Ghost. That brings money to you. So let's say I'm praying in the Holy Ghost. Frey Salabarengo, Brantara Kanisi, Salaparasas. There's a function embedded within that that brings money to me. Now let me reiterate, my God supplies all money according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus, right? So my God has been the one who brought me this wonderful gift that we'll talk about a little bit later, praying in the Holy Ghost. That's his main avenue to bring all things to you. It's his method. Therefore, in praying in tongues, there's a function in it, embedded in it, that brings money to you. You like that?
Yes.
Some people don't like it enough because they'd be praying more. If I told you, Ron, that if you went out this morning and there's this pile of dirt out there, and if you go out and hit it with the back end of a shovel, money would come unto you. What would you be doing? You'd probably get up out of your chair right now, and you'd spend the next week and a half pounding that thing with a shovel and watching money come to you, wouldn't you?
Amen.
Every one of us would do it.
That's right.
If I called you up on the phone and said, I buried something in your backyard. It's very valuable. You'd have bulldozers in here. You'd be working at it, right? Well, I just told you this morning that embedded in speaking in tongues and praying in the Spirit is a function that brings money to you. And the reason I keep looking down here is I want to say it the right way. There's a function embedded in there that brings money to you. Are you here?
Yes.
All right. Go to James. So if you know that, this should automatically start to get you to go, I need to pray in tongues, and I need to pray in tongues more. And especially if I'm going to pray about finances, I need to pray in the Spirit about it. Because there's a function in there that brings money to me. And my answer, the thing that I need right now, is some money. Glory be to God forever. James chapter 1, verse 17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. It's coming down from the Father of lights. Well, Jesus said, I will pray the Father and he will give you another, what? Comforter. And when the Comforter came, we'll get into this in a minute, what was the thing that happened when they received him? They began to speak in other tongues. I present to you this morning that through the receiving of the Holy Ghost, the Comforter, the promise of God, that's where every good and perfect gift has come to you from. Now you need to yield to him and begin to exercise your speaking in tongues to the point where he can manifest every good and perfect gift, one of which is money. That was a big mouthful, but I'm trying to get through a lot here today. Do you see that?
Yeah.
How's it going to come? Through the Holy Ghost. From the Father of lights, who gives you a good and perfect gift. Well, money's not perfect. So he's got to give the gift who is perfect, who is the Holy Ghost. And then when you yield to him, then all of those other gifts come through him. Deuteronomy 8:18. A lot of this is just establishing things. Sometimes I call these sermons an inoculation sermon because it keeps you inoculated from getting flaky and religious. Remember those big shots they'd give you when we were kids? I don't know if they do it anymore, but they put that big tattoo on your arm, a big circle. It inoculates you from certain things. There's a lot of people out there who don't think God wants you to prosper. Well, they're wrong. Deuteronomy 8, verse 17. And thou shalt say in thine heart, my power and the might of mine hand has gotten me this wealth. No, but thou shalt remember the Lord thy God. For it is he that gives thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant which he sware unto my fathers as it is this day. What does it say here? Who's going to give you power to get wealth?
The Lord
my God. Who's the Lord your God today in the earth? The Holy Ghost is the Lord your God today in the earth. He's going to give He's going to give you power to get wealth. When you received him, you began to speak. So when he came, you began to speak, and as you begin to speak, he gives you power to get wealth. There's a function of praying in the Holy Ghost that brings money to you, that brings wealth to you. I don't know, maybe you don't like this message. Mark chapter 9. Now before I say that, I want to remind you of something. Remember, Jesus prayed a prayer. The disciples came, teach us how to pray. Right. And Jesus said, to pray God's will on this earth as it is in heaven. Do you remember that?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The Lord's Prayer. Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Say, thy kingdom come.
Thy kingdom come.
Thy will be done,
on earth
as it is in heaven. He said, they said, teach us how to pray. He couldn't say, receive the Holy Ghost and begin to pray in the Spirit. Are you here? He couldn't say that because they couldn't receive the Holy Ghost yet because he'd not been crucified, preparing the vessel, you, to receive the Holy Ghost. So he said, what's the prayer again? Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. So when thy kingdom comes, you're praying, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So when the kingdom comes, what's the function of that kingdom coming? Is his will being done on this earth as it is in heaven. Now, there isn't a Christian on the face of the earth that thinks that when we get to heaven, we won't walk on streets of gold and we'll have mansions and we'll be in nice houses and all our bills will be paid. Won't you be sad when you get up there and the first thing you go and you greet everybody, hey, they show you a little house and you go in your little house, it looks nice, it was not as nice as you expected, but you get in there and you go, wow, these really aren't the carpets I wanted, and you get inside and the phone rings. And as soon as you pick up the phone, it's the creditor from the bank on earth calling you to say that you still owe them money. Is that going to happen?
No.
No, that's preposterous and ridiculous. You're in heaven. So the kingdom of heaven comes. So praying. Say praying.
Praying.
God's will on this earth is having prosperity and health and abundance. Just like in heaven, Jesus told you to pray that way.
Right.
So shape up and start praying it. You know, half the church isn't praying that. They're praying, oh God, help us. You know it. They have a religious view. And that's why this is an inoculation sermon.
Yeah.
This is to inoculate you from that garbage. God wants you to prosper. There's not one of your children that you want to go bankrupt and be sick and die, at least as long as they learn their lesson. You don't want that. You want all your kids to be blessed and healthy and happy and abundant and fulfill all, right? Well,
yes.
We get that, the similitude of our fatherhood, motherhood from God himself. So it's insulting to me and to him. All right, did I read anything yet? No. Are you ready? I hope you're ready for this. You get that when we get to heaven. Heaven is full of prosperity and health and happiness. No strife there, happiness. And Jesus said to pray his will on this earth as it is in heaven. You know, and it's another reason why some people don't want to be Christians, because they look at Christians and they think their God is some kind of evil tyrant. He's trying to put things on them. Well, you know, and he kills little babies because he needed another angel. That's garbage. I wouldn't want a God like that either. Well, he's not like that. He's nothing like that. That's a bunch of religious bunk. All right. And he said unto them, you there? Mark chapter 9 and verse 1. And he said unto them, verily, or truly, I say unto you, this is Jesus, that there be some of them that stand here, which shall not taste of death, till they have seen the kingdom of God come with power. You get what he just said here? He said he's talking to some physical people. They're standing with him. And so he's not saying they won't taste of death until they die and go to heaven. That would make no sense. They're not going to taste of death, meaning they're not going to die physically until they see the kingdom of God come with power. What's the kingdom of God coming with power going to produce? God's will on this earth as it is in heaven. Are you here?
Yeah.
I mean, all I can really do is say that same thing over and over again and over and over again until you get it. But that's what we've got to get.
Yeah.
So some of those disciples actually saw this kingdom come with power. Now go with me over to Acts chapter 1. You mean the heavens when it comes down to New Jerusalem? No. No. Jesus is telling you how the kingdom is going to come. This is why they didn't understand it. They didn't receive it because they couldn't fathom how this could happen. In fact, they were even asking. Go look at verse 6. And when they were therefore come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, wilt thou this at this time again restore the kingdom to Israel? See, they heard him say that some people are going to see the kingdom come. They were excited about it. The kingdom come, the will being done on earth as it is in heaven. So they're still asking him. Verse 8. But you shall receive power. He's answering their question. You shall receive power. Now remember, he said, you'll receive the kingdom with power. You shall receive power after, say after, the Holy Ghost has come on you. So when's the kingdom, according to Jesus, when has the kingdom come and when has the power come? After the Holy Ghost comes on you. And so the only thing that happened that we can see, let's go over there in verse, in chapter 2. Are you still here?
Yeah.
I know I'm going fast, but this is important. Acts chapter 2 and verse 1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven, as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat on each of them. Say each. Each of them. And they were all, say all. All filled with the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
And began. Say began.
Began.
What does began mean?
Begin.
It means the beginning, right. It doesn't mean the end. And they ended. No, it began. They and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. This is the fulfillment of the kingdom coming and the power coming. When is it fulfilled? When they receive? No, it's after they received. They began to speak. So they received and began to speak. What did they begin to speak? They began to speak God's will on earth as it is in heaven, and embedded in those tongues is a function that brings money to you, that fulfills your rightful place in the earth of inheritance and wealth that the Lord Jesus provided for and paid for by his sacrifice. And now you need to rise up and take a hold of those things and begin to speak those things forth with the unctions that the Holy Ghost gives out of you. Knowing that within those tongues, money is coming to you. Fulfillment is coming to you. Prosperity is coming to you. The kingdom of heaven is being established unto you that very day. Chapter 2, Acts chapter 2, verse 39. Are you here?
Yes.
Glad you showed up. Acts chapter 2, verse 39. I'm going to say this again because I think I should. There's a function of praying in the Holy Ghost that brings money to you. The reality is you're establishing God's kingdom predominantly for you. And there's a function of that that brings money to you because one of the main things you need is what the Gentiles have laid and stored up. He's bringing it to you. Deals are coming to you. Customers are coming to you. Things are working out for you that are supernatural that wouldn't work out for anybody else.
Yes.
It's coming to you. Money comes to you when you pray in the Spirit. I hope you hear. Acts chapter 2, let me read verse 38. And Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. The gift of who? The Holy Ghost. You don't receive tongues, you receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. He is the promise, verse 39, for the promise. Say the promise.
The promise.
Because he, the Holy Ghost, is the promise. Now, I'm going to liken this to, let's say up here in Mania, maybe a snowblower or a lawnmower, right? Let's say that's the promise. You know, when I get up to heaven, I know your main need down here on earth is grass and snow. It's not, but you understand. And so I'm going to send you, let's say in the summer, so let's say a lawnmower. That's the promise, right? So I come and I give you the promise, and you've received the promise with great fanfare. I've received the promise, and you go and you tell all the neighbors, I've received the promise, I've received the promise, I've received the promise. Look, it has a bow on it and everything. My Father sent me this promise. And there it sits, and your lawn grows, and your lawn grows, and your lawn grows. And I sent you the fulfillment of what you needed, but you got to get yourself out there. You got to fire up that thing, take the bow off it, fire the thing up, and start mowing your lawn. That's the Holy Ghost. Use the gift and the technique by which he's brought to you to bring about the kingdom of heaven in their life, to bring prosperity and healing and heaven on earth in their life. And their lawn is overgrown.
Wow.
The promise is unto you. I hope you're here. This is what the Spirit of God said to me last night. I have given you everything you need to prosper. Who has? The Holy Ghost. When he came, think about it. He came from heaven. You think it was poor up there? It's not. He came from there to do what? Establish that on earth as it is in heaven in you. But he has a way to do it. He has a method to do it. It's his idea, speaking in tongues. And so you must begin. And you must expand, and you must develop your prayer language, and you must put the time in. Does it take time to mow the lawn? The bigger the lawn you have, the more time it takes. What kind of lawn you want? You want a nice lawn, and it takes a lot more time, doesn't it? We've been given the Holy Ghost, the person of the Holy Ghost, and his method is for you to speak his words. You should know enough by now from being here how much words mean and how much you speaking words means to you. So you've got to speak those words to the degree, to the degree that you are believing to prosper. Well, if you just want to prosper a little bit, well, then just say Shaka Mahandai twice a day. But if you're believing God for radical change and prosperity, you need to be putting in your time. You got a big lawn to mow and you need to get on that thing. And keep mowing it. And keep it going. Are you here?
Yeah.
I'm trying to help you. Yeah. I have given you everything you need to prosper. Your prosperity comes to you precipitously with the amount you speak in tongues. Your prosperity comes to you precipitously with the amount you speak in tongues. Say the amount. This is your language of wealth. This is your language of wealth. And if you start to think like it, you're going to do it a lot more. People don't see the value in speaking in tongues, and this is where they've missed it. Is there great value in something that produces wealth? Would you put more time into something that produces wealth? Everyone does, even in the natural. If I know that I can pound this dirt for an hour and it'll produce wealth, I'll do it. If I know I gotta cold call people, and out of every 100 people, only one of them might buy something, then I've gotta look at that and go, I need to call 1,000 people a day and be rejected 9 times out of 10. And people do this. But they know by the numbers that they need to do, they need to put the footwork to this because the end result will be prosperity. Well, I'm telling you that embedded in the function of praying in the Holy Ghost brings you money. There's a function in there that brings wealth to you, brings actual money to you. Are you here?
Yes, I see.
It's your language of wealth. It's not your religious weirdness. It's not, oh, you're weird, you do that. Yeah, it's my language of wealth. Say, praying in tongues,
praying in tongues
is my language,
of wealth.
Are you getting that?
Yes.
And I realize this is something, it's like pushing up against a wall, or it's like pushing a very heavy vehicle. It takes a lot to get it going. And so many times it's like pushing up a hill in the church because they don't want to believe it that way. Heaven on earth, my friend, is wealth. Deal with it. And when I'm praying God's will on this earth as it is in heaven, which is what I showed you the Holy Ghost is helping you to do, then you are praying wealth on the earth for you as it is in heaven. You got it? That's your language of wealth.
Yeah.
You guys believe that?
Yes.
Are you kidding me? Yes. It is who you are. It is who you are. This is the next hurdle you got to get over. Now, here's the Holy Ghost. He comes to you and you begin to speak. So he's got to change you into knowing and believing that this is who I am. I'm not a pauper. I'm not an orphan. I'm a child of the King.
Yes.
And I should be living like a child of the King. And the only way I'm going to do it is through his method, through spending generous amounts of time praying in the Holy Ghost. Because it can then bring that kingdom to me. It brings the money to me.
Yes.
I think this is coming across
yes.
a lot better than I think you think it is. It is who you are. I remember having this revelation. I would go down and I'd be at Rhema. I don't really know how I survived down there, but I guess I was in the Word enough. And I was young. I was single. What would I be? 18? Something like that. 19, maybe. And I was down there, you know, when you're a single guy, you can do a lot of things that you can't when you're married and have all these other responsibilities. Me, I didn't have much of a responsibility is to feed myself every once in a while. But as a young man, I was down there, and I remember what I would do is I'd go to all the classes in the morning, four strong, solid classes in the Word. And then I'd go in the afternoon, which when those ended, everybody else would go away. And then like 30 to 40 of us would stay, and we'd pray with Kenneth Hagin for the afternoon for 2 hours usually. Just pray in the Spirit, pray in tongues. Sometimes he teaches, sometimes we just pray in tongues for 2 hours. Well then, believe me, I was pretty buzzed out by then. And then I'd go back home to my apartment, and I would go back there, but then I would walk the floor, and I would pray in tongues for the rest of the day until there was a meeting at night. But in that time of putting that much time in the Spirit, this revelation came over me that this is the real me. This is the real me. All of those other things that I used to think about me, that I could do this and I could do that, was really just a shadow of me. This is the real me, the Spirit man, the one who is in contact with the Holy Ghost. And I'm establishing and establishing and establishing his kingdom on this earth as it is in heaven. Are you here?
Yes.
And then money would just come to me and the rent would be paid. And it was silly. And my roommate showed up and I drove around in his BMW. And people thought I had all kinds of money. As far as I was concerned, I had all kinds of money. You know? And that was my saying. I would go around, you know, and people say, they say, see you later. Or they say, well, we'll catch you tomorrow. I say, prosper. Prosper. And they would remember me by that. And they go, oh, you're that prosperity guy. But where'd that come from? It didn't come from me concocting something. It came back. That's the real me. The real me is not something else. The real me is the one who's in the kingdom of heaven. You understand that? Your time here on earth is short, but forever the real you is going to be. It's the real you. Praying in tongues is the way I give myself to them. Praying in tongues is the way I, the Holy Ghost, give myself to them more and more. Do you need him more and more?
Yes.
How much of him do you want manifested in your life? How much do you want manifested in your business and your things and in your finances and in your accounts? Then this is his method. This is his way. Back before the foundation of the earth, the Holy Ghost came up with this idea that I'll do this. When I come to them and begin living in them, I will give them the ability to speak words that are beyond their understanding. So they can speak them directly from my world, directly from the kingdom of heaven, and begin to speak them and establish them in their world around about them. That was his idea, and it's a wonderful idea. We just need to get in line with it. There's a function of praying in the Holy Ghost that brings money to you. Most people don't spend enough time praying in tongues for me to develop in them the prosperity that is theirs. Did you hear that? Most people don't spend enough time praying in tongues for me, the Holy Ghost, to develop in them the prosperity that is already theirs. You understand that. You have an inheritance. But you've got to cooperate with him, and you got to spend enough time praying in the Holy Ghost. Let me bring this out a little bit more here. How many of you know the scripture that says that all the promises of God
yes.
in him are what?
Yes.
No, and never. No, all the promises, all, say all.
All.
All the promises, Ron, not two of the promises, all of them are yes for you. All of them are yes for you. All the promises are yes, but all the promises come through the promise. They don't come some other way. God gave you the promise, which is the way that contains all of the other promises. So embedded in praying in tongues is all the promises of God. You're speaking all the promises of God, one of which, and one of the most important of which, is causing money to come to you. Say this, when I pray in tongues,
when I pray in tongues,
it is causing
money
to come to me. Do you get it? Most people believe that God can. Do you know that? You know, most people would say, do you know that God can make you rich? Mm-hmm. Most people believe that. You know, even atheists, if you ask them that question, they'll go, yeah, I believe that. Why? Because it's a good thing. If you said to an atheist, do you believe God can send you to hell? They would go, no, I don't believe that. So most people believe that God can. But believing that God can and believing that God will are two totally different kinds of faith. You can't just believe, yeah, God can make me rich. Right? Mm-hmm. Everybody believes that. God can make me rich. But God will make me rich. And knowing the method by which he's making you rich is a completely different kind of faith. And I hope I've given you enough to bring you here today where you know that when you're praying in tongues, that's God's plan. It is he will make you rich. And if you stay in line, you stay in the word, and you keep going in the direction, says the Spirit of the Lord, that I've called you to go, you will come to that place of wealth. You will come to that place in that kingdom where you know your way and you show the way for others to go. And they will follow you because they'll see the greatness and the kingdom of heaven on you and round about you. Hallelujah.
Who?
Glory be to God. Most people don't spend enough time, though, do they? I'll listen to the tapes and I'll hear my different times my voice will get slurred or my tongues will get slurred because I'm just yielding to the Spirit up here. And I think, man, if somebody didn't know, they'd sit there and think I was just drunk because I sound drunk to me. And I know what that sounds like. You probably shouldn't know what that sounds like, but I do know what that sounds like when you hear people, when they drink, right? Their speech gets a little bit slurred. Well, half the time I'm up here preaching, my speech is slurred and I sound like I'm a drunk. But remember, on the day of Pentecost, what happened? They spilled out of there, and who thought they were drunk? The worldly people thought they were drunk. Why? Because they looked like... How would you know if somebody's drunk? They look like they're drunk. They sound like they're drunk. And they fall down. Hallelujah. You there?
Yes.
Philippians 4:19. But my God shall supply all your need according... Now, remember what I just said. Some people believe God can. But it's a completely different thing to believe this scripture will and is happening to you. My God shall, say shall, supply all my need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Well, how does he do it? He does it through the function of you yielding and speaking his words. And predominantly we're talking about here speaking in other tongues. My God, the Holy Ghost, through the function that he gave me, speaking in tongues, shall supply all my need. And my need may be money. And predominantly, a lot of times it is. So my God shall supply all money. Are you here? Is God supplying money for you? It's one thing to believe he can. It's another thing to believe he will. You go around all day long, money cometh to me. And that need is being fulfilled and the money is coming to you. He's causing it to show up and come to you in Jesus' name. Do you have a million-dollar tongue? Or do you have a billion-dollar tongue? Or do you have a $20 tongue? It's up to you. So you have to ask yourself this question. Do you have a million-dollar tongue, or do I have a billion-dollar tongue, or do I just have a $20 tongue? Most Christians have a $20 tongue. This kind of message, they don't even want to hear it. But you should be going, wait a second, I've been given the Holy Ghost, and his method is to speak money to me in the earth. I'm going to yield to him. I've got a $1 billion tongue. And that the real me is a billionaire. The real me is above and not beneath. The real me has all the promises of God established unto me. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. We thank you, Father, for it this morning. We thank you that we all have $1 million and $1 billion tongues. And we commit to speaking in tongues more. And to having that kingdom be established unto us. And to have money come to us. In Jesus' name, amen.